book of Psalm, Psalm 142 this morning. Stand with me if you're able and you can, you will. Stretch your legs out. Stretch your sciatic nerve out. Well, I'll tell you what, Brother Gertie, it's been a good place to be this morning. God's been here this morning, friend. Psalm 142. I read the Bible every day and study, and God's got to give a message, but God's got to preach a man. God's got to put it on him. Getting out of the shower Friday morning, and God burnt this on me to preach this morning here. I mean strong, and I don't know why, but God does, and he burnt me real hard upon my heart to preach this right here. And it goes with what Brother Garrett preached this morning, and you need to listen. It'll help you. The Bible says in Psalm 142, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I shewed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I have walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man, verse 4, cared for my soul. Psalm 142 and 4, he said, no man cared for my soul. You can be seated this morning. David, if you look in your Bible, the Bible says that David's in a cave at this time when he writes this psalm. Yeah. Psalm 142, he's in a cave. And listen, you get in a cave, and there's different caves that we could preach about and talk about in life, the different caves that people get into. David's feeling lonely there in that cave. You ever feel lonely here? And there's people this morning. Listen, you might be here, and you might be in a crowd, a room full of people this morning, but you're lonely down in your heart, and lonely in your home, or lonely in your mind, or you're lonely about something. You feel alone. When you feel alone, listen, is when the devil comes along and attacks you when you're alone a whole lot. Even the great prophet Elijah went into a cave, and while he was there, began to doubt God, and while he was there in that cave, he wanted to die in that cave. Great men all through the scripture have been pushed and have been ran into caves, and David's no different. He's in a cave, and he's in such a shape that he gets in such a shape that he's in, brother, that he said, everywhere I looked on my right hand, where I would have strength. I looked on my right hand where I normally would find some help. Have you ever been there, friend? When you go to one place where you always seem to get help, but you go there and there's no help. You go there and you go talking to God, and he don't answer you. Or something's in your life and you can't explain it. Or something comes into your life. And listen, and you don't know where it comes from. And David's in a cave, and he can't explain why he's that, and he gets to the point where he says, no man cares for my soul. You know why people today are taking their life? You know why people today is in the shape that they're in? You know why homes are in the shape they're in? It's because the devil has convinced a lot of people that no man cares for your soul. I'm here to tell you on the authority of God's word. Listen to me, that there is somebody that cares for your soul. I don't care how low down that you've been. I don't care how bad off in sin you may be. There is somebody that cares for your soul. I can show you in the Bible and show you scripture at least three different groups of people that care for your soul. Listen to me. Hey, friend, we've all been there, Brother Glenn, where we'll say nobody cares. It don't really matter. I'm telling you right now, there's a Savior in glory that cares for your soul. You say, listen, Jesus, he don't care for me. I'm telling you, friend, a man hadn't ought to say that. Hey, listen, Jesus cares for you. He came down. He condescended from glory, and he came down and became a man and walked this earth. He He wasn't born into riches. He wasn't born into kingdom. But he was born in a lowly, a manger. And he came down from glory and walked this earth because Jesus cares for you. Hey, sometimes even the disciples, when they was in a boat and on a storm, in those storms of life, when somebody dies in their family or sickness comes along, we're so bad to say, Jesus don't care. Oh, but I'm telling you, in the midst of the storm, the disciples questioned his care, but he cared for them. Hey, listen, Mary and Martha, Brother Woody, they questioned his care because he didn't come when they thought he ought to come, but he was right on time. I'm telling you, in your life, friend, and you'll tell a lie if you'll say there's never been a point in time where you said, Jesus don't care about me. Right. We've all been there. Amen. Don't look so spiritual like you ain't never said that.
Amen.
Your daddy died, your mommy died, and maybe a child died, maybe you was hit with some illness or some kind of financial burden. And in your dwellings of the night, you laid back in the bed or laid back in a closet somewhere and you said, nobody cares for me. I'm telling you, there are people, dear honey, that care for you and that love you. There are people that love you. You got a Savior in glory. He said, although a father or a mother may leave their suckling child, he said, I'll never leave you. I'll forsake you. I'll go with you all the way, even until the end of the world. Brother, there's a Savior in glory that cares about you right now, young person. That cares about you right now. I don't care what you've done. There's a Savior in glory. And Brother Garrett preached about it. He cares for about you so much. Hey, listen, the creator of all the universe, the creator that made the moon and made the stars and stretched out the universe. Have you ever thought about this, brethren, that he'd even look our way and pay attention to us? Oh, yet the Bible says not only that he looks our way, that he's mindful of us and visits us. And he calls us, and he knows us personally, who we are. That's how much of a Savior that we have. That's how much he cares for you. He said, not one hair of your head hits the ground that your Heavenly Father don't know about it. That's how much he cares for you. Amen. Don't say, Jesus don't care for me, friend. Don't let the devil put that in your mind and in your heart. Hey, Jesus cares for you. I'm going to tell you somebody else, Jamie, that cares for you. The true born again saints of God, they care for you. You say, don't tell me that, preacher. They're just a bunch of hypocrites. They are some hypocrites. I give you that. But I'll tell you right now, I'd rather sit in a church with a few hypocrites on Sunday, Goble, and go to hell and be with them for all eternity. Hey, listen, there are some hypocrites in the church. But let me tell you something. The true born again saints of God, they care for your soul.
Amen.
You say, how you get that, preacher? Well, this morning I heard some of them say, pray for my son. I heard some of them say, pray for my daughter. Some of you here, you don't even know the prayers that your daddy and mommies have thrown out for you. You don't know the times they've wept tears about you. Why is that? Because they care about you. They love you. Hey, listen, the saints of God are in this building right here. The saints of God give their money to keep this building open and to keep this thing going. The saints of God clean this place. The saints of God came and tried to have a place where you could come in that you might hear something and that you might get saved by the grace of God. Don't tell me, listen, that the saints of God don't care for you.
That's right.
Who's going to be by your side when somebody in your family dies? Your dope head buddies? No.
No.
Who's going to be at your side? Your thumbs up Facebook friends? Who's going to be at your side? Who's going to be at your side when you need them at the hospital? Who do you call, brother? You call the other saints of God that'll get on their knees and pray for you. Why is that? Because they care for your soul. Huh? I've worked with some of the darkest people in this world. Listen, sinners above all. and been around them. When something tragedy comes in their life, you know who they come to, brother? They don't come to the fornicator. They don't come to the whoremonger. They come down to the one they got a little confidence in. That's going to pray with them. Why? Because they know God's people cares for their soul.
That's right. Amen,
brother. Oh,
yeah. Amen.
Some of you young people, these people care for your soul. They sacrifice. Hey, listen, they come and try to teach you something. Why? Because they don't want you to stagger in here when you're 55, 60 years old, been divorced 3 times. Hey, listen, been on drugs and everything else. They want you to get saved when you're young to keep you from all that mess. I keep you from all that guilt. Why is that? Because there's a Savior in heaven that loves you and cares for you. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. He said, no man cared for my soul.
Bless your heart.
He's there in a cave. He's there in a cave. Hey, listen. There's a Savior in glory. You can't deny that. You can't argue with that. He cares for you. They saints are sitting in here, brother. They care for you. There is nothing that would make the saints of God more happier than for a lost person to get saved, would he?
Amen.
There's nothing that'd make a saints of God
Amen.
More happier than a lost man or woman come down here and get saved by the grace of God. Or somebody that you've been so cold, listen, you come down here and get things fixed up right with God. That's what you need. You know who else cares about your soul? Last group. I'm done right here. I'll prove it to you. You know who cares about your soul? Sinners in hell.
Amen.
Care about your soul. Now, brother, I don't know about that. I'm going to prove it to you. I wonder who in hell right now in your family that died went to hell. I wonder who it is in your family that's in hell right now burning in the charred walls of the damned. I wonder who it is in hell right now is a hollering at your name. I wonder who it is in hell that is hollering at you. I wonder who it is in hell that is concerned about you. This morning you say, listen, Brother Kevin, I don't know about that. Well, get your Bible, look over in Luke chapter 16. The Bible says there was a man there who fared sumptuously every day. He had the best of life. He had the best that you had to offer. But let me tell you something. The Bible says that he died. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And you know who he had on his mind? Hey, Adam, he had on his mind his 5 brethren. He said, hey, listen, go warn my 5 brethren not to come to this awful place. He said, no, sir, we're not going to do that. He said, if they won't hear Abraham and the Moses and the prophets, neither will they hear, although one rose from the dead. Hey, listen, Moses and the prophets is the word of God. One that rose from the dead is Jesus Christ. And if you ain't going to believe the book and you ain't going to believe Jesus Christ, you ain't going to believe if your dead papa appeared before your bedside at night.
Amen.
Bad doctrine. Bad doctrine. If you ain't going to hear Moses and the prophets, and you ain't going to believe that one rose from the dead, he said you can't come unto him other than anybody by faith. You ain't going to believe if your granny comes to you either. Are you listening to me now? Bad doctrine.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. Bad doctrine.
Amen.
You hear the word of God. You receive the word of God. You get pricked in your heart. And Jesus died on the cross and rose from you the 3rd day. He convicts you of your sin. You get saved by the grace of God. Any other way, you ain't getting saved.
Amen.
That's right. That's what the Bible says, Gert Mullins. He said, go warn my 5 brethren. Robbie said, listen, they won't hear Moses and the prophet. They ain't going to hear, honey, if one rose from the dead. And the one that rose from the dead is Jesus Christ. Well, who's Jesus Christ? John 1 says it like this. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's that Word. Hebrews 1 says it like this. that God in sundry times and in diverse manners spoke to our fathers by the prophets, about to happen these last days, spoken unto us by His Son. Who's His Son? The Word of God.
Amen.
That liveth and liveth and abideth forever. You ain't going to come on that. You ain't going to come on nothing else.
No.
And if you do, you ain't going to make it long because you trusted in something else. Are you listening to me? Why you got to be so plain? Because we've got so much bad doctrine. You got to hear what the Bible says. You're going to get in what God's Word says. You ain't going to get in, friend. I know other way. That's how I got in. That's how everybody that's ever been saved got in. I got in that way because there's only one way to enter in, and that's through and by Jesus Christ, Brother Woody. Ain't this church's way or that church's way or that church's way? It's only Jesus Christ's way that you're going to get in by the grace of God.
Amen.
And sinners in hell, he was worried about his five brethren. Now watch this. Watch this now. This is what got on my mind Friday morning. I baptized my oldest daughter, Bricky, few weeks ago. Here's what got on my mind. I go to these things, my kids is involved in sports and stuff, and you're a parent here, you know what I'm talking about. That's why this right here is going to make sense to you. Listen, and all them kids, I was at Shelby Valley the other night, and all them kids, and I was looking for my child in the crowd. I couldn't see her. And she seen me, but I didn't see her. And of all them kids, and loud as it was, they was playing Pikeville. All them kids, I heard, "Daddy." Now, of all them kids there, Goble, I knew that that was my girl. Bubby, of all them kids down there that was talking and it was loud and the band was playing, she see me looking and she said, "Daddy." And I was standing up top there, and Ricky, I found her. There she was. Her voice, I said, "That's my daughter's voice. I know that voice. She's right there in the crowd. So I know where she's at. I need to walk down the stairs to get to her over there because she's my daughter and I knew her voice." Are you listening to me? Listen to me now. Hey, listen, how awful would it be to go to hell? Think about this now. The Bible says in hell that they're weeping and wailing and gnashing in teeth. They're gnawing on you and you're gnawing on them. And there ain't no getting out of it. If hell ended 1,000,000 years from now, I'd just quit preaching it right now. But hell ain't never going to end. It's an eternal fixed state. And how awful would it be? I think about this. To be in hell, in torments, and you're hearing voices crying out. They're crying out for mommy. They're crying out for daddy, or crying out for the preacher, or crying out for God. How awful and how tormenting would it be to be in hell and not know, is that my daughter's voice over there I'm hearing? Daddy, daddy, mommy, mommy. Yeah, it's quiet because this is serious business right here. I've got family that's in hell this morning, no doubt. They died drunks, they died on their puke, they died in everything else. That's my family now. You family, spiritual, and the preacher feels something up his spine, a goosebump, and they sing a pretty song, and your family gets in. But everybody's family don't get in. But I'm talking about mine. Hey, son, listen, how awful would it be, Bubby, for you to live this life? You just go out here and make money, and you just go out here and enjoy the pleasure of this world? How awful would it be and never bring your young boy to church or your young child to church? How awful would it be, Bubby White, for you to die and be in hell and you hear a voice over here and you say, "Is that little Ron?" And you try to get over there, but you can't. And you're in torment. But then you hear it over here and you say, "Is that Ellie? Is that little Ron?" Oh, listen, how awful would it be to be in that shape in an awful pit of hell? Oh, Brother Kevin, I just think as long as I live right and everything, yeah, you'll bust hell wide open.
Amen.
And you'll see exactly what you are before God. None of us is righteous. Ain't none of us no good. No. If I got what I deserve, I'd be in hell with my back broke. Ain't got a chance of even getting out of hell. But thank God for His marvelous grace, brother. Amen. How awful would it be, Jamie Branham, to be in hell? Make you some money, have a love, have a good old time. Hey, go out here and enjoy this world. And you die. And then you hear a voice of a little boy hollering over here. Well, but you had everything you wanted to right here. But you're in torment. Is that my son over there crying in hell? Is that him tormenting? Oh, yeah. Tough, ain't it? You don't think this is true? Listen, we played church so long in Pike County. We played around so long. Ain't, listen, we don't tell the truth about sin or nothing else. Bless God, and I wonder this morning how many are in the pit of hell or in that shape right now. Oh yeah, good old boys and girls, friend of coal stickers, bless God, worked all their life, just have a beer on Super Bowl Sunday, died and went to hell, and their young'uns are falling behind them, going to hell, and they're in hell tormented, and they're praying out to God, saying, God, but there ain't no mercy, there ain't no forgiveness, there ain't no salvation in hell. Boy, how awful would that be? How awful would that be for a husband and wife to die? Think, is that my wife over there hollering? Oh, is that my husband over there hollering? You can't get to one another. And you hear it. And your minds. And then you hear it over here and you hear it over there. And you hear it day in and day out and day and night. And you get no relief. And you hear the squeals and the screeches of hell. They're crying out right now. Some of you right now in hell, they're hollering out your name. They're crying out to God, go right now, God. They don't know what you're doing. They don't know whatever become of their life. My family that died, it may be in hell this morning. They don't know that I'm a preacher. They don't know what I'm doing. Maybe in hell right now they're crying out, Ronnie, saying my name and your name. Hey, listen, we grown up together. Maybe in hell they're crying out and saying, listen, where they're at. Let's go warn them. Somebody go to them. I don't want them to die and come to this awful place. So you say nobody cares for you. I'm telling you right now, there's a multitude. Son that cares for you. 42:4 said, no man cared for my soul. I'm telling you right now, there's a Lord in heaven cares for you. These people's right here. Right here, Jamie, it cares for you. Loves you.
Amen.
That you come upon their name, your name and your face comes upon their heart at night. To pray for you.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
In a place that you don't know of, in hell, they care for you.
Yep.
We dedicate this little baby right here this morning, Brother Garrett. How often would it be, buddy, for you to say, you know what? I'm just going to lay out of church. I ain't fooling with this no more. I'm just going to go out and have a big eye time. How often would it be if you died and went to hell, Garrett? To hear that little baby. He grew up to be an adult and it didn't go to church. I can show you that in the Bible.
Yeah, I know.
Uzziah was a good priest.
Yeah, he was.
But he went in and messed up in the house of God. And you read his generations, one got worse and one ended up, none of them went to church. Oh, yeah. See, it gets quiet and still when people's thinking about their souls.
Yeah.
Adam, stand up, son, and get us a song. I don't want you moving around, getting your coat, trying to get your mind off a conviction that's on you right now. Because you're under strong conviction right now, some of you are. And God's speaking to your heart. Walking this aisle don't make you a member of this church. But I'm going to tell you something. God saves you, you're going to make it public somewhere. You're going to make a public profession somewhere.
Amen.
Jesus said, if you're ashamed to confess me before this sinful an adulterous generation, I'll be ashamed to confess you. Now, God spoke to your heart here this morning. There's people that care about you all around here. We'll do whatever we can for you. But I'm telling you, I want Adam to sing. I want you to stand. I'm going to sit right here. I want you to bow your head. Think about the condition of your soul. If God's bidding you to come, then friend, you need to come.